This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3694, for Thursday, the 29th of September, 2022. Today's show is entitled, Robo-Tripping Rave Lords of the Apocalypse. It is hosted by Mechatroniac and is about 10 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, organic synthesis of human and machine occurs post-cosmic event.
A strange machine appeared one day, scratching, clawing, cutting, and picking through the wastelands on the outskirts of town. It was built on an old Tesla frame, with all the other car parts removed. Irregular and blocky, it was bristling with spiderous appendages bearing various sensors, cameras, and manipulators. There were familiar-looking aspects to the assemblage of ABS and steel. A Sony logo on a chassis component, a former desk lamp, now a servo-driven electromagnet-equipped manipulator arm. Through gaps in the steel and ABS frame and cladding could be seen complex interactivity producing a whirring, clicking, and humming machine din. The blocks had conveyor belts between them that would occasionally move a part, assembly, or circuit board from one box to another. Sheltering in an abandoned tire garage, this mother bot was surrounded by smaller steel and black ABS clad machines of various novel wheeled and legged forms. All engaged in various activities like gathering and disassembling old stereos, printers, and computers, while others hacked at derelict electric cars. Most of them functioned well, but there were a few that looked damaged or crippled, one pathetically dragging itself in aimless circles. There were screens and laptops affixed randomly to the outside of the hulk, looking like the International Space Station turned inside out. It was topped with mismatched solar collectors from which snaking wires extended back to its body. A few smaller bots also had their own solar arrays mounted to their chassis. On the mother, there were other incongruous elements, like a sound system complete with arrays of mismatched speakers and subwoofer. Some disassembled using screwdriver drill bits, some with saws and torches, while others scanned circuit boards with cameras, identifying then applying heat via a modified soldering iron or propane torch to remove the components. Piles of sorted electronic parts littered the concrete, navigated by bots searching out and fetching specific components and taking them to the assembly stations which fed the mother bot. Those not engaged in diligent mining and building activities were coupled to one of three battery stations that held their own solar collectors and large batteries of both lead acid and lithium ion. When the townies approached the smaller explorer units, they emitted alarm tones or blinked very bright flashing LED lights while fleeing back to the protection of the mother bot. Many people had reverted to simpler pastoral lives, farming and gathering after the cosmic event wiped out the world's economy and internet systems. Food crops and other plants grew very productively and easily since that roving chunk of neutron star buzzed the solar system, and ended technological society. The world was verdant, robustly, and giantly so after the cold and dark of the months of Pompeii. People weren't that interested in technology anymore, though some held on to things like generators that still worked. Few were knowledgeable in how to repair relics of the pre-CE civilization. But a few wondered how it came to be, who built it, and programmed it. Such a self-organized entity couldn't just spontaneously rise out of inert electronics refuse, could it? When the mother was approached too closely, its attendants assumed defensive postures while circular saws whirred, cutting claws clacked, and nozzles with pilot lights pointed menacingly. Thousands of RGB LEDs covering the surface displayed frenetic color patterns that were both blinding, disorienting, and nauseating, although the latter may have also been an effect of the subsonics coming from the subwoofers. A synthetic voice blared terse alert, alarm, warning, and other messages. It may have been identified as belonging to the Arduino talkie library with those with ears to hear. The flatly enunciated words blasted through Panasonic Ghetto Blaster speakers mounted high on the chassis. And people decided it was best to leave it in peace. As the mother mockingly blasted the AC/DC song, Who Made Who, alternating with We Are the Robots from Kraftwerk. A group of young people found that if they stood at just the right distance, they could enjoy the effects of the mesmerizing patterns without being in danger of being maimed. They called it robo-trippin', and it gave them euphoria and visions. The nights consisted of partying and dancing while the bot mother played from a large collection of misanthropic musical classics. One day, after the previous night's party stop amid power low messages, they felt obliged to bring the bots all the solar panels, generators, stereos, and other electronics they could scrounge up. The bots soon grew less apprehensive and allowed the humans to come closer. The spectacle grew larger each night. The songs were a starting point as the bot brewed polyrhythmic beats, binaural, trinaural, etc., that combined with the prismatic visual effects from the LEDs. Time distorting, chunking up, oral visual patterns converging, resonances comprised of corresponding brain frequencies, warped subjective reality, complex harmonics of frequencies, formulae, algorithms, logic diagrams, and circuit schematics were flashed on the screens. Visions shattered into a million pieces, resyncing, recombining many times a second. They had dark circles under their eyes during the day, but the psychedelic splendors of the nights were worth it. They were the disciples of rhythm, supplicants to the beat symbiotes of sound. They soon discovered that they now understood something called Boolean algebra and could read the wealth of digital logic diagrams and schematics in the mother's database. No other townies they knew had any inkling of this knowledge. It seemed to have been forgotten or only known by a small minority. Yet it was so fascinating and useful. The mother had been teaching them via the screens amid the din and ecstasy of dance, and they now started taking active roles, picking up soldering irons and screwdrivers, becoming part of the factory and filling gaps in the robot's skills. The crippled robot was made whole, and the overall aesthetic and function of the robots was somewhat improved by the human eye. A month later, another mother machine appeared with its own attendants. The next month, there were four mothers. The month after that, eight. As non-robo-tripping townies grew increasingly concerned.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you can click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.